All right, good morning to you. What area is off limits in your life, even to God? We've been talking for several weeks here about areas in life that we don't surrender easily. You know, we've talked about, our thought life. We've talked about money. You know, we talked about sex last week. And today we're going to continue that. Before I give you the subject today, let me just ask you a question that'll kind of introduce this. What are you afraid of? I mean, what is it out there in life that you're afraid of? You know, if you study this, it's amazing how the list really most of the time stays the same. You know, for example, lots of people are afraid of heights. You know, I'm one of those. You know, that's when I believe the King James Version. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. You know, I sometimes when I'm in a plane, I look out the window, and this kind of freaks me out to think that, you know, I'm 30,000 feet in the air going 600 miles an hour in a hollow metal tube. It just seems a little weird. You know, for example, you know, a lot of people are scared of spiders. Is that you? Oh, there's one now. Well, I thought you'd jump, Janice, when I said that. You know, a lot of people are loving afraid of spiders. You know, the list is always the same. One of the things that's always near the top of the list when people talk about their fears is the fear of public speaking. I mean, this just frightens people to death. I'll never forget once very early on in my ministry, and I've since learned this, that you should never ask someone to pray publicly that you've not asked privately if they're comfortable in doing that. And I remember I called on this guy to pray one time years ago. This wasn't even here, somewhere else. And when I mentioned his name, he was like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, you know, I was embarrassed that he was embarrassed, you know. And afterward, I apologized. And he said, oh, John, I don't know how you people do this. How do you stand up in front of people? And, you know, certainly if you're going to be a pastor, you got to get over that fear. But a lot of people are afraid of speaking in public with other people. There's one fear, I think, that's even greater than that. You know what it is? Public speaking about your faith. Even though we know that the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, even though the Apostle Peter tells us to be always ready to give an answer for the questions that people have, you know, even though we read about the examples of Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost and proclaiming who Jesus was, or Paul standing on Mars Hill and talking to the people of Corinth about the unknown God. We know that the Bible is so plain that if the next generation's going to hear the gospel, they're going to hear it from us. And to a lot of people, that literally scares them to death to think about that. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to help you with that today. Because one of the areas that we don't surrender easily to God is this area of our witness. I want you to think about your witness. I want us to think about our witness and how well we're doing. I want to give you some help, some pointers, and how that you can do this better in your life. So let's start with the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 66, not chapter, the 66th Psalm, in verse 16, I found this verse, and it really spoke to me, and I hope it'll speak to you, because it gets to the very heart of the way that I like to look at being a witness. When he says, come and hear, all you who fear God, let me tell you what he has done for me. To me, that is the heart of witnessing. And I want you to get this verse today, and I want you to memorize this verse and think about this verse, because I think this verse can take away the fear of sharing publicly about our faith. Because really, all it is telling people what God has done for you. I mean, if I were to ask you today, has God done anything for you? Certainly we would all say with a resounding, yes, He has done so much for me. Really, witnessing is just simply telling people what God has done for you. See, I think a lot of the fear comes from this idea of us thinking that we need to understand so much, that we need to be able to answer the questions that people have, that we need to be able to give them chapter and verse of the reasons why. And although that's good to have that kind of knowledge, and we'll talk about that later, really, witnessing is nothing more than telling people what God has done for you. And there's so many times in life that we don't take the opportunity to do that. Now, Psalm 66 is interesting, not only for this verse and what it says, but also for what he says in verses 17 through verse 20. Look at what he says. After he says, you know, I want to tell you what God has done for me, this is what he says right after that. He says, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God has surely listened and heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Now let's take this phrase by phrase and let's ask ourselves, what is David saying that God has done for him? First off, he says, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. You see, folks, we need to let people know that anything that they see in our life that is good, that it comes from God. Now listen, folks, I am here to tell you today that almost everything in my life that is promising and positive has come about because of not only surrender to, but trust in the Lord our God. And when we understand that goodness comes from our crying out to Him with our mouth, and that praise is on our tongue. Look what he said. He said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. Do you understand that? Do you understand that sin and disobedience is the thing that keeps us away from God? I mean, how easy is that to tell someone? Someone says, you know what? My life is just a wreck. I don't know where to turn. And you can say, you know what? What God has done for me is that He's forgiven me. He has given me a place in His kingdom. And listen, I love you, and maybe you just need to think about that your sin is taking you further and further away from God. We can't cherish sin in our heart. Now, is that hard to say to someone? Maybe. But David said that that's the very reason that I was able to cry out to God. Look what he says. He says, but God has surely listened. In other words, it's not that he did not listen. He did listen, and he heard my prayers. Therefore, I was able to praise him. Why? Because he did not reject me. He did not reject my prayer. He has not withheld his love for me. David says, let me tell you what God has done for me. And then here it is. Just step by step, what God did for him. But here's the thing, folks. When we say nothing about our faith, we say a lot. You know that? When you say nothing, you say a lot. I mean, ladies, how many times have you had this conversation with your husband and you say, sweetheart, I can tell something's really wrong. You know, what's going on? And he says, nothing. And then he's just quiet. Guys, when we do that, when we say nothing, we're saying a lot. A lot of times, our silence speaks volumes about where we are. And I think we just need to be honest, and we need to know that when we find it difficult to talk about our faith, maybe it's because our faith isn't what it needs to be to us. Maybe we need somebody to witness to us and to tell us how great God is, how good God is. Because that's really all it is. And when you say nothing, you are saying a lot. You know, I remember years ago, I had this gentleman that I knew. He was worked at a car dealership. It wasn't here. It was in East Tennessee. And somebody that worked with him, I knew, and this having this conversation with this guy one day, and he mentioned this other fellow that works for him that I knew well, that actually attended the church that I served at the time while I was a student at Johnson University. And he said to me about his coworker, my friend from church, he said, "Is he a believer?" And I'm like, "Well, sure he is." "Nah." That's what he said. "Nah, you're really? He's a believer?" "Absolutely, he's a believer." "Man, I'd have never known that." That's what he said. How many people say that about you? How many people in here this morning, if I met some of your friends out in the community and I mentioned, you know, that you attend, that you're always here at First Church of Christ, how many of them would say, "Really? Never misses. It's always there." Yeah. You see, folks, when we say nothing, we say a lot. And here's what we say mostly. What we mostly say is that my faith isn't all that important to me. That my faith is something that I don't depend on like I ought to, or like I should in life. But the thing is that when we are silent about what God has done for us, we miss great opportunities to point people in the right direction. You see, God's word is very clear when he says that you are a witness. You are a witness. Whether you are a good witness, whether you are a great witness, whether you are an appropriate witness, but you are a witness. You are either a good witness or you are not so good of a witness. And it's our choice of which we're going to be. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be a good witness. I want to point people to the goodness and the grace and the love and the mercy of God. And we don't do that by just simply judgmental statements about a person's life. But we tell them about the difference that God has made in ours. That's what David said. "Let me tell you, let me show you what God has done for me." What did he do? He listened to me. He heard my prayers. What's the kind of prayers that David would pray? David prayed in one place, "God, make my sin as white as snow. God, wash me and I will be clean." David understood that he was going to be a witness. He was a witness when he sinned with Bathsheba. He was also a witness when he talked about God's grace and mercy and forgiveness for all of the sin that came from that. So you and I have to determine which kind of witness that we are going to be. Let me show you another passage of Scripture here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It's one of my favorite ones. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." He said in another place, he said, to go into all the world. One person translates that as you go into all the world, tell people about the goodness and the grace of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You're going to be my witnesses right here in Jerusalem. You're going to be my witnesses in the area around in Judea, even further than that in Samaria, and in one day even in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and Blair County, Pennsylvania." God wants us to tell about his goodness and about his greatness wherever we go. You know, I remember years ago, I've had to testify in a court a couple of different times. And I remember the first time that I ever went in a courtroom and was sworn in. And I went up front and I sat down as a witness. You know, they say, do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? So help you God. I do. I remember I was just scared to death. You know, I didn't know what in the world was going to happen. And I sat down in that chair, and this lawyer stood up, and he asked me, he said, do you know such and such? And he talked about somebody in the courtroom. I said, yes, I know them. How long have you known them? I've known them for, you know, 10 or 15 years. Have you always known them to be honest and truthful? Yes. No more questions, Your Honor. You know, the other lawyer said, no, I have no questions. I literally was scared to death for weeks, sweating this out, and it lasted like 30 seconds and it was over. Think about if you were called to give a testimony about your faith in Jesus Christ. Think about that you're going to be questioned by lawyers, by defense attorneys, maybe even by the devil himself. And you're gonna stand up and you're gonna swear that you're gonna tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help your God in heaven. And you said, I do, and you sit down, and then the questions begin. What makes you a good witness? Or what makes you a bad witness? Well, let me give you three words to think about. Information, determination, and integrity. Jesus said that you will be my witnesses. Whether a good witness or a bad witness, whether you are telling people about the goodness and grace of God or you're ignoring those opportunities and they're getting some other message, either way, you're going to be a witness. But if you're going to be the kind of witness that God wants you to be, you need these three things: information, determination, and integrity. Information, you have to know something. To be a good witness, you have to know something. You're not called as a witness unless you know something, unless you have some information that sheds light on the subject, unless you witnessed something, unless you saw something. You know, Jesus Christ, His disciples, His apostles, they wrote the Bible because they were eyewitnesses to what God had done through the person of Jesus Christ. They had the information that needed to be shared. Now, what's the information that you need to have in order to be a witness? Well, David says you just need to know what good things God has done for you. You see, the devil puts in our minds to think, you know what? You can't be a witness because you don't know enough. You don't know chapter and verse. You don't always know right and wrong. You don't always know the thing that you should do rather than the thing that your flesh wants to do. You don't have the answer to every question that would be asked you as a believer. And because we think that's it, many times that's why we're silent. You just need to know. You need to have the information. You need to know what Christ has done for you. That's why Philip could have an encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. On the road, the Ethiopian eunuch could say, here's water, what prevents me from being baptized? Philip and the eunuch go down into the water. Philip baptizes him. All of a sudden, he's gone. Don't know if it's whether miraculous or if he just leaves that quick. But he goes back to his home. What is he? He's a witness of what Christ had done for him. The Samaritan woman at the well, whose life was a wreck, goes into the town and she tells them about the man that she had encountered at the well that told her everything about her life. There's all kinds of examples about this, folks. It's not that you have to know everything. You just need to be aware of what God, through Christ, has done for you. Information. You also need determination. You also need a will. You know, a lot of times there's people that have information that needs to be shared in a court of law so that the truth can come out, but they don't want to testify. They don't tell anybody. They don't bring that out. Or worse yet, they lie. They lie so that they won't be put on the stand and put on the spot. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you need information what God has done for you. You also need determination that the people that you are with each and every day need the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture in all the Bible talks about how Jesus looked over Jerusalem and they looked like sheep without a shepherd. And he wept for them. The Apostle Paul said that he didn't desire to know anything other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He even said at some point he felt like he wanted to share the gospel with his brothers in such a tremendous way that he would even be willing to be lost himself so that they would know. Do you have that kind of determination? You see, I'm always impressed with those people that have that kind of determination, that always take the opportunity to share their faith. To tell people what Christ has done for them. Information. Determination. But you also have to have this third thing, and that's integrity. Because if you know something, and if you say something even, if your life is not such that you have integrity and honor, you will not be believed. I mean, what's the one thing that the defense attorney does when he puts somebody on the stand and they say, oh, I have information, I know what happened, and here's what happened. And then they say, you know what? I came to the police, I came to the lawyer because I just wanted to do what was right. They had determination. But then the lawyer stands up and says, yes, but you're a liar. And then they give example after example, and the person has to admit that their life is not all that it needs to be. And all of a sudden the jury is instructed that if you catch them in a lie in one area, you assume that they lie to you in every area. You see, without integrity, your information and your determination is not helpful. That's why Jesus says, you know, God says, be holy as I am holy. That's why Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. You have to have that life that backs up what you believe. Information, determination, and integrity. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. And to be a witness, these are the things that we need. I have a friend here in town, a pastor friend, and I had a conversation with him recently because he uses this to describe what he encourages their people to do in the church by being a witness. He says about having gospel conversations. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, what do you mean by that? And he said that they encourage their people to actually keep up with how many gospel conversations they have. They don't use the term, you know, I want you to go out and be a witness. I want you to go out, I want you to have gospel conversations with people. In other words, when you have the opportunity to steer the conversation toward God, toward Jesus, toward faith, that you do it. Let me give you an example. You know, I get this a lot of times. People say to me, "So you know what, John, boy, you are so blessed," or they'll even use the term, "You are so lucky." You know, talking about family and faith and children. And even the blessing that you guys are to me and that we are to each other. You know, Pastor John, you are so fortunate. You are so blessed. You are so lucky. The worst thing that we could do when we get those kinds of opportunities in life is just simply to say, boy, yeah, you're right, man. I really am. No. Have a gospel conversation. Steer the conversation toward God, His blessing, your faith, His provision, His promises. Steer the conversation to what God has done for you in your life. Don't just nonchalantly let that pass by and say, boy, you know what, I really am. Because it's not luck. It's blessing. There's somebody else just as good as you are that are not experiencing those same blessings. But listen, folks, we need to steer the conversation toward Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. You know, you wanna turn the sound off in a room, just bring up God or bring up Jesus Christ. Because all of a sudden, see, here's what's so hard about speaking about your faith in public, because when you first start doing it, it just sucks all the air out of the room. And if there's anything going to be said, you're going to have to say it because everybody's going to be really quiet. You know, I've seen this, you know, you steer the conversation toward God and somebody says, well, you know what, I'm running late, I got to go. Because it's hard for people. You know why it's hard for people? Because to the Gentiles, it's foolishness. And to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. You know, even to the people of faith, they have a hard time talking about faith. It's a stumbling block. And to non-believers, to people of the world, it's just foolishness. So you have to talk in such a way that tells people what God has done for you. And shows that He is so real in your life. And just like David said in Psalm 66, he's made all the difference in the world. And I know when you start doing that, it's difficult. But as time goes on, people will appreciate that about you. And what I've found is that when you genuinely show and share your faith and you're a witness, that you're a witness with information, with determination and integrity, when you're a witness with those three things, people will come back to you and they'll ask your advice. It's amazing. It's amazing what people do. And they may not say it to you. They may even feel, you may feel like that they're uncomfortable, but they will come to you for insight and answers about their world, that they've seen God work in your world. So, have these gospel conversations, because it is amazing. You see what, folks? It may bring a blessing today, but it may very well be their road to salvation as well. Open up that conversation and talk about Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. But here's the thing, and then I'm done. In order for people to be able to tell other people what God has done for them, they have to know what God has done for them. And while you might think that that's an easy thing to realize what God has done for you, I think it takes an exercise of the heart to really sit down and go through and realize what God has done for you. You know, I can go back to the very early parts of my life and I can see God's hand on my life. But I also know that there were a lot of times in my life where I could have made a different choice that would have gone down a different road. And I did at times. But folks, when we know that God has our entire life mapped out for us and we want to follow the path that He has set for us, everybody's path leads to the same place, in that you will be my witnesses. And if the next generation knows about God and about His goodness, it's because we told them, we showed them, and that we were an example of how great and wonderful He is. Those are conversations that we should want to have each and every day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for these wonderful people that are here this morning. Thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, we just stand with David today. And we just say, Lord, we want to tell others what you've done for us. That really, Father, that is that's the definition of being a witness. So God, I pray that we'll take your word to heart when you said that you will be my witnesses. And that, Lord, we'll be a witness. We'll be a witness that has information, that has determination, and that has integrity, Lord. So that people will not only hear our words, but would be able to follow them. God, every person in this room has somebody that they need to have a gospel conversation with. Lord, give us the strength and the willingness to do that, even, Lord, today or this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.